Welcome to Common Salvation, the sermons and other thoughts of Pastor Philip Hoppe, a pastor in the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. This sermon was preached October 21st and 22nd at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Hoxie, Kansas, and Trinity Lutheran Church in Colby, Kansas. The text was Matthew 22, verses 15 to 22. Let's listen in. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let me introduce you today to a man you may or may not know. His name is Judas, Judas the Galilean. And no, that's not the Judas we are much more familiar with, Judas Iscariot, the apostle, the betrayer, and so on. This Judas's story actually begins during the time when Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire world. Now, perhaps you remember those words from another story. I sure hope you do. Yes, this was at the same time when Joseph and Mary are traveling to Bethlehem because of that same census. Judas the Galilean, truth be told, would not have been very happy with Joseph and Mary for complying with this census. He, in fact, encouraged Jews not to register and actually had the houses of some of those who did set on fire and their cattle stolen. He saw registering and then paying the resultant tax as disloyalty to God. You might remember the term zealot being used in the scriptures more than once. They were one of the main four sects of the Jews in the days of Jesus. We are very familiar with two of these sects, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, since they appear so often in the writings of the apostles. There were also a group called the Essenes who sought to live a simple and prayerful life away from the world. The last group of people, though, were the Zealots, thought by many to be formed directly by this Judas that we are talking about today, Judas the Galilean. They taught that every Jew must be allegiant to God alone, and therefore opposed to anyone else who sought to rule over them. In their day, that meant zealous opposition to the Romans. Risks had to be taken to remain loyal to God, even if that meant at times the use of force. Many believe that Judas was one of the men, at least, that helped at great risk remove a blasphemous golden eagle from the temple, which was placed there by Herod in deference to Rome. Judas was against registering for the census that was called for, primarily because he understood why it was done. He knew that it was conducted in order that taxes would be collected properly and that each person's allegiance could be tested. And Rome did indeed take such censuses seriously, threatening to take a quarter of one's wealth if you missed one census, and half of your wealth if you missed two. They were going to get their tax revenue one way or another, we might say. They were going to get your allegiance willingly or by force. Judas demanded resistance against this. Some believed he actually thought he would take the very throne away from Herod, believing himself to be the Messiah. It is believed that many of his followers in this revolt ended up actually being crucified by the Romans. And as you can imagine, then later Jews were split on how all of this had gone down. Was Judas right, or were those more like Mary and Joseph right? Should one cooperate with an extent with these pagan rulers, or should they resist them at every point? Paying of what was called the poll tax seemed to have become the flashpoint of this whole discussion. For the poll tax was a tax that each person paid, and therefore, if it was not paid, it revealed to Rome who was being rebellious. And there was no doubt that Rome wanted the actual coins that came from this taxation, but they also valued the obedience that released those coins into the coffer just as much. And so, the question came before Jesus. What was his stance? Should they pay the tax or not? We're told they were not really interested in his wisdom, but instead were trying to get him to say something that would get him in trouble with someone, whether it was the zealous Jews or whether it was the Romans. Oh yes, they didn't care which it was that was listening in, as long as someone was really upset. And so they asked Jesus, should we pay the poll tax? And so what was his answer? Well, in essence, he said that both sides were right. Those who wished to cooperate with Rome were right that they should pay the tax, because it was Caesar's money, as he revealed, and God was using Caesar to his ends. But before that word could simply enrage the zealots and bring joy to the Herodians, he also told them that the zealots were right when they contended that first and foremost, God must be given what was his. Absolute loyalty to him was, in fact, required. He also, though, revealed that both sides were wrong. The zealots were wrong to cling so tightly to Caesar's coins because in doing so they rebelled against the very authority that God had established. But on the other hand, to treat the Romans as if they were the true ultimate authority in all the world was wrong as well. Only God was due that honor and respect. Jesus not only spoke this answer, but he would later live it out as well. During his bloody passion, he would yield to authorities like Pilate in one moment as the proper authorities of the day, but then in the next moment he would remind them why they had any authority at all, namely that God had given it to them. Yes, he gave to Caesar what was his, and to his father what was his. Ever since the very contentious years of COVID, questions about yielding to the government have become very lively topics again. No doubt these things have always been a topic of conversation in America ever since its beginning, but these events indeed brought it all to light and to discussion again. And to be honest, most people simply divided up onto one of two very different sides. There were those who wished to act as if the government had no authority to do anything and should be rebelled against at every turn. And then there were those who treated the government as if they had all authority and that Christians had to do whatever the government said without any question. There is, of course, a purely political or philosophical discussion that could be had about these matters, but such things would not be fit for a sermon. As we interact today with our Lord and his answer to this question, we indeed are called to examine how God and not politicians or philosophers would tell us to think about government and about God. And here is what Jesus said. Give to the government the things that are the government's. Just like in Jesus' day, our currency still makes very clear where it comes from. The treasury prints it, and it bears the images of past presidents and governmental buildings. And so, yes, we pay taxes when we are required by law to do so. We do not do so because they could punish us for not doing so, but we do it because we understand that God has established these people as the authority for a time, for his reason and his ends. If God could use Persian kings like Cyrus to return his people to the promised land when the Old Testament was ending, if he could use rulers like Tiberius Caesar in Rome in Jesus' day to accomplish what he wanted for those times, he certainly can use even those leaders you did not vote for at the ballot box, and he does. But he also tells us to give God what is his. And what is God's? Well, our whole self. You see, the coins of Rome bore the image of Caesar and other leaders. Our coins bear the image of Lincoln and Washington and so forth. But we ourselves as a whole, we bear another's image. We ourselves bear the image of God himself. This is true by virtue of our creation, but even more true by This is true by virtue of our creation, but it has become even more true by virtue of God claiming us as his children in baptism, transforming us day by day into the image of his Son Jesus. And so, we must first and foremost offer our whole selves to God as a living sacrifice. To discern exactly what it looks like to give to Caesar his things and God his things is not always easy. Quite frankly, it's much easier just to decide that you'll never yield to government or that you will always yield to government. But we are called to a different position. We are called to yield to these authorities, except for when they refuse to yield to God. But in specific cases, it can be hard to discern what is most faithful, and we should be honest about that. After all, the Romans did see paying that poll tax as a way of pledging complete allegiance to Rome, which well could sound like a call to idolatry, which we should refuse. But they also used the money collected to build things like roads and aqueducts and even the temple, serving the purposes to which God had called them and doing things that would benefit all people. The basic answer in the question of how we figure this out is to yield to these authorities unless we are convinced that they are forbidding what God has commanded or commanding what God forbids. We obey men with established authority until they disobey God. Give to Caesar what is his, and God what is his. So you must know yourself. Which way are you more likely to err? Are you more likely to refuse to yield to the government at all and use your allegiance to God as an excuse to do what you want in any situation? Or are you, on the other side, more likely to simply yield to Rome, so to speak, without even considering whether their rule is trying to rule over God's ways? Know yourself, and then examine yourself, and Jesus will teach you with his words and his deeds how to examine yourself. You must ask, how have I acted, and how will I act in the future in regards to government and to God? What thoughts, words, and deeds do you have that should be brought to God in confession in order that they might be forgiven? Bring all of those to Jesus, for indeed, he will offer you everything that is his, everything that he earned when he gave to God all that was his, even his own life. Because Jesus lived and died in perfect relation to human authority and his Father, forgiveness, life, and salvation are yours. Your sins are forgiven, and the way ahead is made clear for you. Thanks be to Jesus. Amen.